Federal Real Property Management is once again on the Government Accountability Office's high-risk list. Auditors say the General Services Administration is still struggling with problems like surplus buildings, over-reliance on leases, and that put real property on the list back in 2003, and here we are still on. To tell us more about what needs to be done, Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, and this is getting to be a little bit like Groundhog Day
for GSA here.
Why is real property management, after all these years of purported reform, still on the high-risk list?
It's still on the list for several reasons. Excess and underutilized property, costly leasing, data reliability, and physical building security. Let's start with excess and underutilized property. According to GAO, the government has about 273,000 buildings that are leased or owned by U.S. agencies, and that adds up to billions of dollars to maintain and operate.
And this after years of an Obama administration initiative to cut down on underused real estate.
Right. That was, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Back in 2015, there was a big push to improve it and reduce the footprint and shrink everything, and still to no avail. So the department is in charge of all of this. It's sort of GSA. It acts like a landlord for the federal government. And one of the complaints for years has been the government has too many buildings that sit vacant or they're falling apart. One example is the St. Elizabeth's here in D.C. It has like 60 buildings, many of which are falling apart. The DHS is consolidating it, and that's going to be its new headquarters, but it's still been sitting around for forever.
In fact, I walked that property as far back as early in the Bush administration with the then GSA administrator. Her name was Loretta Doan, and they were talking about, I mean, this is two administrations ago of 8 years each, they were talking about St. E's and still.
Did you see some of the buildings? Were they like, could you tell?
A lot of them are
just
small sheds and little garages that are falling down. But the main wing-shaped building that was the insane asylum, well, it's rotting too unless they get to it.
Well, and that's what they say. Some of the problem with this these excess vacant buildings are that they're on federal property that is hard to get to if you're just a member of the public. Like, you might have a laboratory that isn't being used and there's vines growing out of it, but if it's behind chain links, you can't just walk on and be like, I'm going to put a 7-Eleven here or something. So that's part of the
true
problem.
Enough.
So back in 2015, the Obama administration published the National Strategy for the Efficient Use of Real Property, which GAO said is a step in the right direction because the strategy highlights some of the problems federal agencies face when managing their real property portfolios. But GAO in its high-risk list said that this strategy doesn't address how those challenges impact the government's ability to better use or dispose of properties.
And of course, strategy is one thing. Execution is something else.
Exactly. So costly leasing is also on the high-risk list. GAO said GSA's progress to reduce its reliance on leasing has been modest. According to the high-risk list, GSA reported that the amount of space it leases fell for three straight years, which sounds great, but that only totals a 4% drop since 2013. And I talked with Robert Peck. He's the former commissioner of GSA's Public Building Service. And he pointed out that even big corporations rely on lease space, so it's not totally out of the realm of possibility for the government to lease buildings. And while it's one thing to buy property in a location where you know you'll be for a long time, it doesn't always make sense if you're not going to stick around. But Congress only gives GSA so much money to buy and maintain buildings. And Robert Peck said, while in the private sector, sometimes you can lease a property for a while and then own it, the government scores capital investments in a way that GSA really can't do that.
That's right. The cash accounting and the other nature of federal finance just don't sometimes allow what is best practice in the commercial side.
Right. And then even if GSA does have the money, it has to jump through a bunch of different hoops to get permission to spend the money that's been building up in the Federal Buildings Fund.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. What are some of the other problems with this whole real property management issue beyond leases and excess space?
So the other two issues that GAO highlighted were physical security and data reliability. Back in 2015, GAO recommended to GSA and the Federal Protective Service, those are the two agencies that share responsibility for protecting federal facilities, to take action to improve their collaboration because they needed to make sure everybody was on the same page as far as protecting the workers in the building itself. As of last August, FPS reported that it had taken steps with GSA to resolve these differences, but progress is slow, and this memorandum of understanding still hasn't been updated since 2006, so we're looking at now 11 years. GAO also recalled in its report published in January that I worked on and wrote a story about that foreign entities own certain high security space in these buildings.
Foreign meaning China?
Yeah, you can have China. You've got, I believe Saudi Arabia is one. You have these buildings with, you know, there's important high security things going on and you realize, oh, you're owned by someone that maybe we don't know. It's still okay, but maybe we should double check on this. And sometimes GSA isn't saying anything about that. And so GAO said, please, maybe you should start sharing that information when an agency is considering a lease for a high security purpose.
And pop the cover off those thermostats to see what's really under there.
Right, what's under there. And then there's also the issue of data reliability. And I will admit, when I first read this high risk report, I was thinking, how do you not know what you've got? Part of the problem is that the GSA just doesn't know how much it has and who's there and where it is. But Robert Peck, again, the former commissioner of GSA's Public Building Service, who I talked to, said it's not that simple. So imagine your office and think about how many people occupy that space, and not just the number of people assigned in that area, but how much room is actually needed to house those workers who show up on any given day or any given hour. Because, again, everybody's got different schedules and flex schedules in the government. So now imagine your GSA, and you've got to think about that with the entire government workforce and all the federal real property in its portfolio. That starts to get complicated. So GSA isn't entirely in the doghouse. I mentioned that 2015 national strategy. And in January, GSA also launched a newer version of the real property management tool and also an asset consolidation tool. And that lets agencies see federal real estate in areas in certain geographic locations. Kind of works like what private sector has. So anyway, the head of GAO, Gene Dodaro, made the rounds in Congress to talk about this high risk list. And a few lawmakers had questions on real property. Here's Dodaro and Ohio Senator Robert Portman.
The one that always troubles me is the number of federal facilities that are not being used or are not fully used, and yet we can't seem to transfer those to either cities or states or private sector or nonprofit needs. And this is where Senator Carper and I and the chairman and I and others have worked on this over the years, including back when I was at OMB. Where are we on the disposal of these properties?
So there's some progress, but it's not a lot. That's why I think this legislation that Congress passed last year to set up this independent board to identify some high-value real properties. Now, some of the properties aren't worth a lot or need a lot of repair, and the agencies haven't had enough money in order to put in to fix up the properties to make them appealing or attractive to sale. One area that I think it hasn't been explored very much, another area on our list is the Postal Service. They have a lot of vacant space now that I think could be perhaps rent it out to other federal agencies, and then that could create other vacant space that could be sold and transferred. So the bottom line to answer your question is there's been some progress incrementally, but not as much as I'd like
to see.
Seems
like one reason you said there's been progress is that at your end we did pass those two bills finally.
Right.
And now I suppose our job is, along with you, to monitor the implementation of that and make sure it's actually done right.
That was Ohio Senator Robert Portman and head of GAO Gene Dodaro. And there's already been a little progress, actually. Earlier this month, the Cotton Annex, which is this giant 120-square-foot building right off the National Mall.
It's ugly, too.
Yeah, it was auctioned off for about $30 million.
If they just got rid of the ugly federal buildings, think of how much they could save.
Right.
Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, as always, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
And she'll have some more reporting on this and all of the items on the high-risk list, federalnewsradio.com.